Sunday morning worship, and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I want to talk about the glory shared between the Father and the Son. The glory shared between the Father and the Son. It's important to recognize that from verse 1 through 5, this is Christ praying for himself. From verse 6 through verse 19, he's praying for his companions, the disciples. From verse 20 to verse 26, he's praying for the Christians, the believers, that's us today, and all believers who have trusted him for their salvation. This prayer is so profound. It is for us to recognize that Jesus Christ is giving his Father an intimate reality of where he is at this state in his life before he goes to Calvary. He's telling him about the things that concerns his heart and his ministry and those who will come to know him not only in that time, but in these times and times further until the end of time. And so he has packaged in these 26 verses some of the most prolific words and thoughts, which makes this one of the most powerful chapters in the entire Bible. As a matter of fact, it is simply stated, but powerfully and immensely profound as it relates to the ministry of Jesus Christ. And I want you to look at verse 1, because I want to spend a little time here, because the word of God is so rich and it's laden with principles. And if we rush through the word, there's so much we leave on the table. That's why I enjoy getting into the deeper things of the word, so yet we will understand what God is trying to tell us. Just in verse 1, the narrative really gives us three different portions. It talks about the connection, it talks about the communion, and it talks about the communication. All of that's in verse 1. Look at the connection, if you will. The narrative says, "These words spake Jesus." Now, "these words spake Jesus," one would think that he's talking about verse 1 through 26. But that's not what it means. It literally means that Jesus Christ, according to scholars and theologians, refers to three chapters, 16, 15, and 14. And some scholars even include chapter 13 and verse 31 in these words Jesus spake. It's important to recognize what he's talking about, and to get a fuller understanding, you would have to read all of these chapters to really understand when it said, these words spake Jesus. But now I want to begin with the connection, because the Bible says, and lifting up his eyes to heaven. I want you to look at his posture, because what he literally does as he's praying this prayer after the Lord's Supper and before he gets to the Brook of Kidron, he's praying where his disciples can hear him, but he has blocked them out of his mind. He has focused on God. He is looking up to heaven, and he's making clear that he's connecting with God and disconnecting from everything else around him. We have got to learn that God likes his time in a sense of priority. God don't like to be in the communication, in the conversation with everybody. He's so important. He likes you to take out time and talk just to him. He wants you to understand that when you're talking to him, he deserves your full attention. And so Jesus Christ, he blocks out everything else, and he connects one-on-one with God. How many of you ever had that feeling when you connected one-on-one with God? It's a feeling like no other, when you can know you've connected up to heaven. That's something that feels that void underneath the skin and gives you a sensation that the Lord himself is listening to you. So when you speak, you can speak totally and truthfully and purely to him. So this is the connection where he looks up to heaven and he begins. Now, I want you to see the communion, because what is important about this is to understand, he says, Father, Father. He doesn't say, our Father, as he teaches in the other verses where he teaches his disciples to pray, because this ain't our concern. He's talking about his relationship with the Father that extended beyond his birth here on planet Earth. In other words, he's talking about his Father that is the only true God, the Father he was with from the beginning, before the world ever was, and you'll find that in verse 5. He's making clear that he reaches back, and when he says Father in this sense, it is so much so that the Father feels that communion with Jesus and knows that this is what he's talking about. Because one of the things that I need you to know also about this text is that Jesus, when he talks to the Father, it's an intimate conversation. It's personal. It's intimate. It's personal. And when he says, Father, the Father knows it's intimate. The Father knows. There is a difference when a child calls his father, Father, and the way he calls the Father, Father, that the Father, in a close relationship with the child, knows what the child means just by saying, Father. And the Father knew this when Jesus called him. It was personal. It was intimate. Why so? Because what Jesus was about to tell him was so profound and important that he needed his undivided attention in this prayer. Notice here again now, because what he goes on to do is to not only share the intimacy in this prayer, but he moves further to show the intensity of the prayer, because now he's talking about a prophetic reality. He says, the hour is come. The hour is come. And I think I need to throw this out parenthetically, that when he said the hour is come, he's talking about this hour that they spoke about before the world was ever made. When he talk about the hour is come, he's talking about the plan that they together worked on before he was ever given to planet Earth and to Mary and to Joseph. He was talking about the plan to redeem mankind and to bring him back into a right relationship with him was about to bring its fulfillment and climatic experience on Mount Calvary. When he talked about the time is come, the hour is come, he recognized that this was about to come to a head, that all that he had done and all that he had shared and all that he had meant and all of the ministry he had given was for this hour. He was not looking at it as a sense of terror, as in death row, even though the hour of death was coming. It was like when Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, for I am now ready, and the time of my departure is now. It's right here. It's here. See, he knew something. Look at what he said. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. And see, he recognized that his hour has come. You see, well, the only way you can recognize your hour has come is to know the plan and purpose that God has for your life. And when you know you've done what he's told you to do and you have fulfilled the purpose that he has given you, when you know that's over, you know ain't no sense in you lingering down here no more. He has given you what you need to do, and if you've done what he's given you to do, then you know your time is up. That's one of the reasons why the devil can't fool a true believer of God. If you know what God's called you to do and timed you to do and purposed you to do and you ain't finished it, listen, he's going to keep working in you until that is complete. I know sometimes it looks like the end is coming earlier, but the devil is alive. I know he might throw you off course for a moment, but God's going to bring you back on course. He's going to work it out until what he has promised you is completed. So he says the hour is come, because he's talking about an intense prophecy that was given before the world was ever formed. But then the third thing is, he talks about information, because he's informing God about a profound petition. Listen to what he says. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. Now, that may not be much for you, but that was a whole lot for Jesus. Because literally when he said, glorify thy son, out of all of the definitions of glory, out of all of the majesty, the supremacy, the supremeness, out of all of the majestic realities, the bright and the shining glamour and glory of God, out of all of that, the word that is meant here is honor. It would read something like this. Honor thy son, that thy son may honor thee. Listen at this. It all comes down now to Jesus going to Calvary. It all goes to the understanding that this is the time that you must understand, I've done everything you've asked me to do. I'm going to Calvary. I'm going to deal with everything that you have given me to deal with. I'm going to handle death, and I'm going to pay the penalty for mankind's sin to redeem him back to you. I'm going to give up my life. No man is going to take it from me. But when I give up my life, I want you to honor me by letting them know that I am your son. Because through the humiliation of what Calvary represents, and for all of the things that bring a scar and a scab to your name and to your honor, I'm going to walk through all of those things knowing I've never done anything that displeased you, knowing that I've never done anything that's not worthy of you, knowing that I've altered my life so that I would please you in every instance of my life, but to the world, it's going to look like I am a condemned person. So I want you to honor me that I might also honor you. Now, what does he mean by that? I'm glad you asked. He meant simply that when he would give up his life and say, Father, it is finished, and when he presents his life in the hand of his Father, that 3 days later, his Father will prove to the world that he is who he said he is, and that he will raise him up from the dead and bring him back to life and show him the honor that only the Heavenly Father could do to this mean and unkind world. And Jesus wants him to know that he's going to honor him by bringing mankind into a place where he can come back to God in a right relationship. And by doing all that he needs to do, he wants God to do the same by raising him back up and showing the world that he is who he say he is. Now, my brothers and sisters, I think you need to understand how important this is to Jesus, because everything Jesus did, he did to please the Father. Can I just move on just a little bit and show you before I come back? Verse 2 says, as thou hast given him power over what? All flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as God has given him. Now, first of all, he's trying to make us understand that he knew God trusted him so much so that he gave him power over his chiefest creation. He gave him power over every human being. What did he give him that power for? So that every human being would have an opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus, and coming to him, he would go through him to get back to the Father in a right relationship. He gave Jesus the power to cleanse the sin of every sinner who would accept Jesus as his Savior. And no matter what he's done, how far he's fallen, how black his sins are, that Jesus hath the power to make him whiter than snow and bring him into that place where God would be honored and glorified. Listen at this. Verse 3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know him. This word know is the same word we get genosko from, which is to say that it is an intimate knowledge God wants us to have, that Jesus wants us to have, both of God and of Jesus, that they may know the only true God. See, you got a whole lot of folk that know some gods, little G-O-D-S, and they put a lot of other people and places and things in the place of God. But Jesus said, I want them to know the only true God. I'm talking about the God of gods. I'm talking about the supreme God. I'm talking about Jehovah God. I'm talking about the Almighty God. I want them to know God in such an intimate place that there could never, ever be any misunderstanding that he is God all by himself. This is eternal life, that they will know him in an intimate way. See, if you don't know God for yourself, you don't have eternal life. The reason Jesus came was to bring you back to God. And if you don't know that God loves you so much that he gave his son, and his son loves you so much that he gave his life, and they both gave all that they gave so that you would know them in an intimate sense, and that meant personally and righteously. That's why it says, again, the only true God and Jesus Christ. Listen at this. Whom thou hast sent. Listen at this. Do you know, Jesus is making clear, and this is so important because he says this many times in the word, I want folk to know I'm here by divine order. I'm here by the marching orders of God, our heavenly Father. I didn't just get up and go. I had orders to come, and I am here because God sent me, which means I'm on a mission, and my mission is in direct correlation with the desire of God to bring mankind back into a right relationship with God. Listen at this. If you are not sent, then you cannot operate in the authority and the power of God. I think I need to back up just a moment in verse 2 when he said he's given him power over all flesh. That word power comes from the word exousia, which means authority. He's given him authority over all flesh. And so what you need to understand is he's not here fake jaking. He's here by the true authority of God. Ain't nobody else here that can save you but Jesus, because he's the only one sent. Every other God, if they're all lined up together and you put them in one group, they couldn't save you, because God himself didn't send none of them. Matter of fact, they got eyes and can't see, ears and can't hear, hands and can't help, feet and can't walk, a heart and can't feel. Can y'all hear me the other day? They had to build their own God. They had to make images of their own God. Our God is so great. Listen at this. He wouldn't allow. Matter of fact, he said if he got hungry, he wouldn't even tell us, because we couldn't even fill his appetite. You're talking about a God who is the only true God, who sent Jesus Christ. And Jesus, listen, is on that mission to save us for him. What a love the Father hath for his chiefest creation. Everything Jesus did at Calvary made it possible for us to enter into that relationship with the Heavenly Father. Now look at what verse 4 says. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have glorified, I have honored thee on the earth. Listen, my brothers and sisters, if you're going to bring honor to God, you need to do it while you're here. I mean, I know we're going to get to heaven and we're going to sing and shout and all this and all the rest of that. But I got news for him. If you don't honor him here, you ain't going to be up there doing none of that. The honor God wants from you must be here in this evil world, in this dark world. To honor him is important. As a matter of fact, even in the natural sense, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, look at what he says. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy life may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth us. Listen, God put in the Ten Commandments, honor your father, your earthly father, your earthly mother. Why? Because honor is big with God. God is all about honor. That's why when we are here, our walk, our talk, our witness, our lives, our giving, everything that we are must honor him in the earth realm. If we don't honor him here, where are we going to honor him at? Heaven is a place where the honorable goes. If you're not honorable here, you will not be up there. If you don't honor him on your job, where are you going to honor? If you don't honor him in your home, where are you going to honor? If you don't honor him in school, where are you going to honor? If you don't honor him with your friends, where are you going to honor? Listen to this. If you don't honor him on Facebook, Twitter, and all the other media, where are you going to honor him? If you're not going to honor him in your conversations, where are you going to honor?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
Goodbye, world.
I'm going home.
Set up.